It's hard to emerge out of the cave of seeking God to get up here today. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Friend, that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Praise God. When we consider the things that God has done for us, and the fact that we were sinners that had no hope, had no covenant, but Jesus paid the price for us. The Bible says that he had to become like his brethren. Amen. Jesus didn't come down in all the power and glory of heaven and escape all of the trials and the things that we go through. But quite the contrary, he paid the price for every trouble, every sin, every trial, every temptation. He was tempted in like manner as we have been tempted. So Jesus come down and put on an earthly robe, a human robe, and he was born. He grew up, he suffered, he did all the things that we have to do, amen. He was God in the flesh, and yet he was fully man, fully God, but he did not take the benefit of being the Son of God and relieve himself of paying the price and walking the steps that we walk. Jesus was a child just like we have been. It was necessary for him to be that. He knew what it was like to be tired. He knew what it was like to deal with stress. He knew what it was like to have disappointment in his life. I mean, after 12 years old, there was no more mention of his father Joseph in the Bible. Jesus knew what it was like to have disappointments. He knew what it was like to feel the pain and the anguish. He knew what it's like to feel abandonment, rejection, and heartache. He knew all those things. He suffered all those things just like us. He put on the robe of humanity so that he would be able to walk like us and yet demonstrate the power of God to overcome every temptation that has come to man. He overcame sickness. He overcame weariness. He overcame tiredness. He pushed through rejection, frustration. Amen. I know Jesus got frustrated because there was times he said, "How long am I going to have to be with you?" Talking to the disciples. In John chapter 17, he said, Father, I can't wait to get back with you. I can't wait to get back in the glory that I had with you from the beginning. He said, I've done what you asked me to do. I have come and done that. I have been this. I've walked with humanity. I've understood humanity. I've felt their frailty. I've felt their inabilities. I have suffered their plight. but I can't wait to get back into the presence of God, back into glory. Jesus did not escape the things that we have to go through. The Bible says that a great time before morning, he would get up and leave the disciples and go out and pray. He did not escape the fact that he had to commune with Heavenly Father. Amen. He knew what it was like. I don't doubt that a lot of those mornings he was saying, God, are you sure Peter was the right one? And sometimes he would go to God and say, God, I can't put up with the squabbling between Peter and John another day. This competition and who's greatest in the kingdom, why can't they get it? And then there was times he would go and say, God, Father, help me to have grace with these snakes, these Pharisees, these whitewashed tombs. Help me not to call down fire from heaven, Father, and burn them up. I mean, he felt what we felt. It's hard for us to comprehend the fact that he was all God and all man all at the same time. Amen. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He was fully man. Matter of fact, he called himself the Son of Man. He did not call himself the Son of God. He called himself the Son of Man. Why? Because he did not come to identify with God. He came to identify with man so that he could pay the price for man so that we could identify with God. Amen. If he had not come in human form and experienced all the things that we experienced, he could not have paid the price to deliver us from our frailty and our weakness and our inabilities and bring us into who we're supposed to be in God. But he laid down his royalty to become like us, to understand who we are. In chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him who appointed him. Hallelujah. Who is faithful to him who appointed him. And again in verse 7, it says that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. There's only one reason that we can go and bow before a holy God and say, God, forgive me of my sins. It's because Jesus became a faithful high priest, a merciful high priest, and he paid the price for us so that we can come, and he paid the price for you in your weaknesses so that you can come and bow down to God and say, God, I am weak. I need help. I can't do this. And Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the Father, says, you have received everything the Father has. Now get up and walk in my strength. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and give him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise God. Even though he was in the form, he was with God. He came in the form of God. He was God in the flesh. Everything was made by him and through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was God in the flesh. And yet he humbled himself. He took on the form of a bondservant and humbled himself. He put on our robe. He put on the robe of our flesh. And he walked as a man. His feet got tired. When walking on those dusty roads in Israel, his feet would get weary. He slept in the boat in the midst of a storm. You're talking about being tired. Have you ever slept, fell asleep in the middle of a storm? He was tired. His physical body got tired. Just because he carried the blood of God the Father, just because he was God in the Spirit, does not mean that he escaped or put off the ability. He did not take on himself the power of God in his physical body so that he wouldn't feel what we felt. He felt our pain. He felt our sorrow. He felt our weaknesses. He felt our weariness. He got tired. And he did that so that he could be a merciful and faithful high priest over the house of God. God doesn't get mad at me when I get tired. I do. All my life I've expected and thought that I should be able to do anything, everything, and whatever needed to happen. And when I would feel tired and weary, it would make me angry and I would just push that much harder because I don't like that feeling. But God knows when we're tired. He knows. I mean, look at who was it that got all upset? Elijah? Or was it my mind went blank. The big whale. Jonah, thank you. Jonah finally got out of the belly of the whale, went and preached the wrath of God in Nineveh, and a revival broke out. Did you know that revival lasted for over 100 years? Jonah got mad about it. Yeah, he got mad. You know, different servants of God in the Bible got tired and got upset and God didn't get, you know, been out with. Sometimes he put them to sleep and then woke them up and fed them something and put them to sleep again, you know. I mean, Jonah got up there crying and talking about how much he'd been mistreated. I mean, I spent 3 days in the belly of a whale. I preached the gospel. I did everything you told me to do. And now you redeem these ungodly people that you just told me to curse, and now a revival's broken out, and he's sitting out in the sun, and God caused a shade to grow over him. Isn't it amazing how God does not get all shook up when we get all shook up? Amen. He just sits back, takes care of us. Sometimes he pets us a little bit. He feeds us. He says, go to bed. I got this. Just go to bed. Amen. Sometimes he just looks at us and says, would you just lay down and go to sleep? Come on, somebody. Amen. God knows our weaknesses. He put on the veil of our flesh. Let this mind be in you. And in verse 8 it says, and being found in the likeness of men, in being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. There's one reason that Jesus did that, and that's because God wanted to restore us to the place that we could put off this garment of flesh and put on the Spirit of God. There is no other reason. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 4, it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Jesus paid the price so that we in our weakness, we in our inabilities, we in our shortcomings, we in our small-mindedness can come out of that frailty, out of that inability, and actually begin to put on. Ephesians tells us that we are to put off the old man who's becoming corrupt. Put off the old man. Be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And put on the new man who is created in Christ Jesus. We have been given an amazing opportunity today that we no longer have to walk in the weakness and the frailty of our own abilities. God has not called us to do what he called us to do in our own ability, but he took the time to pay the price so that we could receive the abilities of God in a human body, where this human body can put on the robe of righteousness, put on the robe of God, and walk in who God is instead of who we are. We are not here by ourselves. We are not walking in our own ability, and we will not finish the course of the church in our own ability, but we have the garment of praise for the Spirit of heaviness. We have been anointed with oil of joy and gladness. We have been given everything that God has. He has raised us up, and he's given us all power over all the power of the enemy. We are not a weak and abandoned bunch of people that are waiting for God to somehow rescue us from the demented world that we live in. We are the Most High. We are the children of the Most High God. We have been anointed to step on serpents and walk on scorpions. What is that? We've been anointed to walk on the very thing that Satan sends to destroy us. Hallelujah. When the storm was overcoming the disciples, Jesus walked on the waves. He did that so that we could understand that when the storms of life start trying to overcome us, he will raise us up and make us walk on the wave. I said in a prayer meeting the other night, it's time, or the other day, that it's time for the children of God to quit running for the storm shelter every time a storm comes. It's time for us to go out, lasso that tornado, and ride that thing for a while. We're always building storm shelters. When God's calling us to walk in the storm, he's calling us to walk on the waves, to get out of the boat and walk on the waves. You can't get anywhere hiding in a storm shelter. I shared with them that one time me and Sister Betty was riding our Harley coming back home, and we got to Mount View, Missouri. It was after dark, and I could see this big black cloud and storm coming toward us. And we pulled in to a little McDonald's there. It was the only thing I could see that was open. And we pulled in there, thought we'd, you know, believe God to turn it into real food so that we can get some nourishment out of it. Oh, God, transform this into something my body will actually recognize. Come on, somebody. Amen. They're coming out with McDonald's now that don't have one human being in the restaurant. It's all automated AI, and you can walk up there, you can drive in and order something from a computer, and somehow it's supposed to bring you out something that's fit for human consumption. And so we're eating from fake things and fake food and all, boy, we got to have faith in this day that we live in. Amen. Hallelujah. Transform it, God. They're coming out with fake steak made out of bugs. You know what the elites have started calling us? This has irritated me about as much as when they called us unnecessary back in 2020. They're calling us unnecessary eaters. Yeah. That's our new name from the big global economic summit. These unnecessary eaters. Amen. God's going to spread a table before me right in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. One of these days while they're chewing on charcoal in the gates of hell, I'm going to be sitting at the table of the Lord eating right in the presence of God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You talking about unnecessary eaters. I just jumped on a rabbit trail and took off. And me and Sister Betty pulled over in that McDonald's, and we could see that terrible storm coming. Kind of normal. We was sitting there, and all of a sudden the manager come running out and started hollering, everybody get in the cooler, everybody get in the cooler, everybody get in the cooler. And everybody was running and screaming and hollering and running and getting in the cooler. They said, there's a tornado heading right for us. It's almost on us. We got to get in the cooler. Come on, let's run. And Sister Betty she just is used to me. She looked at me, she said, so what are you going to do? I said, I'm not getting in the cooler. I said, let's go. We just went out, got on the Harley, took off. We rode right into that thing. Golf ball size hail, torrential rain so heavy you had to swallow to keep from drowning. Lightning crashing everywhere. There was so much lightning, it was like daylight. I mean, we could see everything clearly. And there was a tornado went by on the right side of us, and a tornado went by on the left side of us. Amen. And we drove in that thing for hours. Torrential rains, the wind blowing so hard that it was blowing sideways like this. And we just out there riding along. I got to tell you something, in the presence of God, sometimes you feel so safe, you don't even worry about what's going on around you. Hallelujah. We can ride in the storm. We can ride through the storm. We can walk all the waves. It's time for the children of God to quit building shelters and trying to escape and get out and start riding on the wind and riding on the storm. God called us to represent Him. He's called us to walk with Him. Hallelujah. God knows who we are. He just wants us to find out who we are. Some of you ain't going to get past that the rest of the time. Pastor Snyder took Sister Betty right through the storm. She just calmly just goes with me. Amen. Amen. Let's go. You say, well, if you ever had a wreck, she wouldn't get back on it with you. I've had four. We've been beat up pretty good. But as soon as I'd get the handlebars straightened back up where I could drive the thing and try to put it back together where it was runnable, she'd crawl right back on that back seat. We'd crank that thing up and take off. Amen. I got to tell you something. We know who our Redeemer is. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, it's time for the children of God to get over this fear. There's such a fear in the body of Christ. We're afraid of everything. We're afraid something's going to go wrong. I'm going to tell you something. Everything's going to go wrong, but we got a God that can make it right. Everything's going to come against you, but we got a God that has more power than all the power of the devil. He might try to stomp you and push you down, but we serve a God that can raise us up. Even if he puts our candle out, he'll reignite it and cause it to burn again. I'm telling you, we serve a God that is almighty. He is the Most High God, and he has come into us, and he has made it possible for us to take off this old earthly, fleshly garment and put on the robe of righteousness and put on, in the book of Luke, chapter 24. Let me find it here. Book of Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That word endued means clothed. Until you receive a robe, a garment that's greater than the garments you have. When you can cover up that old garment of flesh with a garment of holiness, a garment of God, you can put on a garment that'll give you power over all the power of the enemy and cause you to rise up in the power of God. The display of Almighty God will come upon you. Acts 1 and 8 says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be witnesses unto me. How can you be a witness unto Jesus if the things Jesus did aren't happening in our life? But we can do it because he has clothed us with himself. Glory. Brother Colin gave the word about the ashes. That's exactly what God's been talking to me about. Amen. There's ashes that God's raising us up from. There's dreams and visions that we've given up on because we don't know how God's going to do this, and we don't see it happening. And yet God is calling to every child of God right now. Everyone that can hear his voice, God is calling to us and saying, come into my presence. Come into my mishkan. Come into my glory. I need to talk to you. I need to speak to you. Hallelujah. I spent hours and hours in this place Friday on my face before God because God was speaking to me about the fact that I'm not greater than he was and that I need to submit myself to the persecution that's coming and the things that are happening, the people that's going to hate us and not going to want to walk with us anymore because of the demonstration of God. But I got to tell you something, we're not greater than our master, but we are still the same as our master because he has made us as he is and he's given us his authority, he's given us his power, and he will walk every step with us. God's been speaking lately about the things that he's not been able to accomplish. And some of it he's put off because we needed to go through a time of crushing. Oh, my Jesus. Sister Val sung a song here a while back, just a spontaneous song, that he is worthy of the oil that comes forth from my crushing. So many in the body of Christ has refused that time, has refused to submit themselves to the crushing. We've exalted our gifts so that we didn't have to become crushed. We bragged about what a ripe, plump olive we are instead of humbling ourselves and letting God crush the oil out of us for His glory. There is a crushing that takes place. Every time God moves you into another level of the anointing He's put on your life, He takes you through a crushing period. And every time somebody denies that crushing period, they self-destruct, because we have to be prepared to be able to dwell and live in that place God's taken us to without destroying ourselves. It's not pleasant. Putting off that old man is not pleasant. Sometimes it feels more like you're being skinned alive. Sometimes you go into the presence of God and all you feel is your unworthiness. That's not so that you feel bad at yourself. It's so that you'll shake off that garment of flesh and let Him clothe you with a garment that's greater, so that He can baptize you in His Holy Spirit and you can walk in a new life that you've not experienced before. God's called us into a place where He can empty us of ourselves. Not so that we can live empty, but He's called us into that place so that He can fill us with who He is, that He can fill us with His nature. He can fill us with His character. He can fill us with His gifts. And where the world will know that there is a God in heaven and Jesus Christ is Lord. God has not given up on us. He's not cast us out. He's not forgotten about us. But He is bringing us into the last day finisher anointing. He's wanting to clothe His church with a garment that says our name and our mission. And He's wanting to send us forth to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in our day. God has not stopped. He has not quit. He is still moving in His body to all those that will hear His voice. Holy Spirit's in the last few weeks have been taking me back through moves and people that He used and showing me how they had to learn to endure the despising, the persecution, the lies. I've been through so much of that in my life that I thought I was finished with it. But this last couple of weeks, God's been bringing me to a point of saying, will you yield? Will you yield? Say, God, I've always yielded to you. He said, no. You're not understanding me. Will you yield? To where I can demonstrate myself through you. And you will not be distracted by the attacks of the enemy and the attacks of people. You know, we think we learn these lessons, but God knows more than we do. I don't want to be John Mark that Barnabas has to take aside for a little bit longer because we're not ready or submitted. I want to be like Silas, that Paul knows what's ahead of him. Paul knows the things that are coming, and he knows John Mark isn't going to be able to handle it. But Barnabas was anointed to be a discipler and an encourager, and he took him aside. They both did exactly what God called them to do. It's just they couldn't see it, so they got in a big fight over it. But Paul needed somebody like Silas that wouldn't run when they were beating him. They wouldn't run and cry and complain in the dungeon in stocks with their back beaten. But all of a sudden, in the middle of that night, at the midnight hour, when the pain was overwhelming and they couldn't, they've been hurt, they've been done wrong, they've been lied about, all of a sudden, I can hear Silas, I don't know what they sung, but I can hear Silas begin to sing unto God. Paul began to sing at the midnight hour. They began to sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Can you imagine all of a sudden in the midst of pain and anguish, the praises of God begin to rise up? Why? Because they did not serve their bodies. They served the power of the Spirit that was on the inside of them. And God's trying to get us to a point where we can stop serving our flesh and start serving Him, and stop trying to apply God to our flesh and conform God to our flesh and conform it, make some kind of new religion that occupies our flesh and satisfies our flesh. God's trying to get us to come into the place that Paul and Silas was, when all of a sudden their body didn't matter anymore. All that mattered was the fact that they serve a living God. And when they started singing, all of a sudden God started shaking that prison. He does not forget about us, nor does He forsake us. Instead of jumping up and running, they led the jailer and all of his family to the Lord right there. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. I've got to close this down, but you got to understand the call that God's given out today for the body of Christ that can come into a place where you can be lied about and still praise Him. Where you can be hated and still praise Him. Where you can be offended and still praise Him. Hallelujah. I thought I knew how to do that, but God's telling me that I haven't graduated out of kindergarten yet. Amen. Father, Lord, as I've just simply declared your heart today, God, I thank you that there are people in this church, Father, that are hearing and listening. Lord, as uncomfortable as it might be, Father, we are yielding to your disciplines, and we are yielding, Lord God, to your crushing, Father, that we can be prepared, that out of us can flow the oil that will heal this land, that will heal people. Lord, that out of us can flow the very Spirit of God, Lord God, that can cause sinners to cry out to you, Lord God, that people be delivered, demons flee at the sound of your name. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you're bringing forth an oil that will drive out imperfections and impurities, and Lord, that will drive out infirmities and sicknesses and diseases out of our bodies and out of this place. Father, I thank you that you are bringing a healing river of anointing into this place, and I give you praise for that, Father. God, we humble ourselves before you. Thank you, Father. Holy is the Lord. God, fill us with your presence. Fill us with your anointing. Clothe us in the power of your Spirit today, Jesus. Holy is your name. Holy is your name. Hallelujah. You know what God's saying to you today? I just got up here today and just repeated conversations that I've had with Heavenly Father. Do you know what God's calling you to do? You know what God's speaking to you today? I don't know what God has for you. There could be somebody sitting in this house right now that's going to end up shaking this nation with the power of God. We never know. But I know this. If you've ever heard God talk to you, you heard him today. Father, we thank you. Raise us up, Lord. Raise us up, Father. In righteousness.